Did you hear about that?
You don't believe that, do you?
Did Pope Pius XII help Hitler?
The Pope didn't help Hitler.
I read a book that said so.
You don't believe that, do you?
How can a man be infallible?
Does that mean the Pope is perfect?
Is that true?
What about the Spanish Inquisition?
Well, I heard that Peter never went to Rome.
Our teacher told us.
I saw it on television.
Is that true?
Pope fiction. Fiction.
With your host, Patrick Madrid.
Did you see that show on television the other night?
What show?
It was about World War II, and they said that Pope Pius XII actually helped Hitler.
Hello, I'm Patrick Madrid, publisher of Envoy Magazine, and author of the book Pope Fiction, where we examine and respond to myths and misconceptions about the papacy. One particularly rancid myth about the papacy is in wide circulation today. It holds that Pope Pius XII was silent in the face of Nazi atrocities against the Jews during World War II, and that this silence led to the deaths of many innocent people. Now, people who believe this myth say that if Pope Pius XII, if as Pope, if he had exercised his moral leadership more firmly and denounced Adolf Hitler publicly, that that would have saved many lives. Now, the short answer to this charge is wrong. I'll give you the long answer now. When World War II came to an end, the horrors of the Holocaust came to full light. People didn't fully realize what had taken place in these German concentration camps until Germany was liberated. And, of course, France and the other surrounding countries were occupied at that point by Allied troops. It was only then that people realized that Pope Pius XII had been, in fact, a hero, and he was exalted as a hero around the world, because many witnesses of the day, many Jews and various non-Catholics, recognized and proclaimed publicly that Pope Pius XII's efforts were responsible for literally hundreds of thousands of Jewish men, women, and children being saved from brutality and the certain death that awaited them in these Nazi extermination death camps. Especially after his death in 1958, the praises for Pope Pius XII really began to come out, and especially for his efforts on behalf of the Jews. When he died, the whole world knew and the world acknowledged that Pope Pius XII had done everything he could do to defend and protect the Jews. Now, the fact is, Pope Pius XII had done more than many governments in the West had done to help the Jews. He had done more, certainly directly for Jews, than the United States or England or the other European countries had done to protect them. And according to his quiet but very effective strategy, Pope Pius XII had done far, far more than really any other religious leader, any denomination, any world power during those harrowing years. And the widespread recognition of this Pope's efforts on behalf of the Jews during World War II, it was well known immediately after his death, but then a dramatic change began to take effect about 5 years after the Pope's death. He died in 1958. Now, I refer to this era as the era in which a lie was born. And this is due to a gross case of historical revisionism, which sought to not just deny the fact that Pope Pius XII helped the Jews, but to actually turn the tables and portray him inaccurately as somebody who aided and abetted the Nazis. Now, the undeniable, verifiable facts surrounding Pope Pius XII's persistent efforts on behalf of the Jews, those facts seem to have been forcibly amputated from the public consciousness. People have forgotten in the last 50 years, they have forgotten what he did. And in place of those facts has been grafted in a sinister myth that quickly took root, choking out the truth. And this myth has in it the seeds of the lie that is being sown everywhere that Pope Pius XII helped the Germans in their dirty work. He did it by being silent, according to this lie. Now, this began to gather steam in 1963, about 5 years after the Pope's death, when a German playwright named Rolf Hochhuth, he wrote a still obscure play by the name of The Deputy. And in this play, The Deputy, he alleged that Pope Pius XII, through silence about the extermination of European Jews, was directly complicit in the horror of Nazism. Now, this erroneous view, this erroneous portrayal of Pope Pius XII, spread very quickly among critics of the Catholic Church, especially in secular and political circles. And while Hoke's personal Pope fiction that he brought to life in this play portrays Pope Pius XII as cowardly and a collaborator with the Nazis, all the facts show otherwise. Now, this play is just the beginning of what is growing into a crescendo of criticism against this Pope, but if people simply look at the facts, they'll find that far from how he's being portrayed in the current media, he was actually a great friend of the Jews. Let's go back in time. Let's rewind a little bit to the time when he was a cardinal. He was a papal nuncio, even before he became a cardinal, to Germany. Now, Monsignor Pacelli, he was a bishop at that time, he was going to be the future Pope Pius XII, but Eugenio Pacelli distinguished himself in Germany over many years of service as the Holy See's ambassador from the Holy See to Germany. And it was during that time that he was an ambassador that he became a very vocal opponent of the racial policies of the National Socialist Party, which we shortened to the Nazis. And on the strength of his long experience in Germany, he, by the way, was fluent in German, it was Eugenio Pacelli, the future Pope Pius XII, who personally drafted Pope Pius XI's 1937 encyclical against the Nazi Reich called Mit brennender Sorge, which means, in my broken German pronunciation, with burning sorrow. It was a vigorous, a direct, and condemning indictment of the anti-Semitism of Germany. It was the only encyclical from a pope ever to be issued first in German. And it took the dramatic step of identifying Catholics as spiritual Jews. The pope used the term spiritual Semite. He was attempting to show this, at the very least, a spiritual solidarity between Catholics and Jews. Now, one Nazi defendant at the Nuremberg trials after World War II came to a close, he testified that any direct papal condemnation of Hitler would have driven Hitler to more horrors. This is just a matter of record from the Nuremberg trials. The Pope didn't protest publicly in the sense that he didn't get out on the balcony of St. Peter's and pound his fist and all of those things. But the man at the trials testified that he was right to do so because he said if he protested that way, Hitler would be driven to madness. And it would not only not help the Jews, but we could expect that many more of them would have been killed by that course of action. So the most important example of this behind-the-scenes effort that was glimpsed originally in Mit brennender Sorge, the encyclical that Pope Pius XII drafted for Pope Pius XI, the beginning of this policy we can see in the words of this encyclical. He says, "We have weighed every word of this letter in the balance of truth and love. We wished neither to be an accomplice to equivocation by an untimely silence, nor by excessive severity to harden the hearts of those who live under our pastoral responsibility." I'll stop there. What the Pope is saying here in the encyclical is that he has to walk a fine line. He can't denounce too dramatically these things because it would harden the hearts of the Nazis, who are also part of the responsibility of the Holy See, to try to win them over to the faith. But on the other hand, the Pope recognizes that he can't have an untimely silence where he appears to do nothing. So there's something has to be done in the middle. Going on back to the Pope's words, "For our pastoral love pursues them nonetheless for all their infidelity," this is referring to the Nazis. On the one hand, he was refusing to be silent on the issue, but on the other hand, he knew that his condemnation of the Nazi anti-Semitism could provoke a deadly backlash against the very Jews he was seeking to protect. So it was precisely this dilemma that Pope Pius XII approached in his pontificate, because the problem with World War II blossomed into this horrible nightmare in Europe at the point when Eugenio Pacelli was elected to the papacy. This was 1939. Now, the Nazi government, remembering his opposition to their policies while he was the papal nuncio in Germany, they were greatly agitated when they heard the news, as did the rest of the world, that he had been elected to the papacy, because they knew him and they knew what he stood for. There was an official publication of the German SS called Das Schwarze Korps. I think that's how we pronounce it. And they stated mockingly, "We do not know if Pius XII, though young enough to see the new developments in Germany, is intelligent enough to sacrifice many old things of his institution, referring to the Catholic Church. They go on, as nuncio and secretary of state, Eugenio Pacelli had little understanding of us, and little hope is placed in him. We do not believe, said the Nazis, that as Pius XII, he will follow a different path. So in other words, what they're saying is, he's been against us in the past, we don't expect that he's going to deviate from being against us in the future. Another official organ of the Third Reich, called Das Reich, growled that Pope Pius XI was a half-Jew, for his mother was a Dutch Jewess, but they said Cardinal Pacelli is a full Jew. So they were, of course, mocking him and trying to show their disgust for the new pope. In another jab, the Nazis observed in a Gestapo report in 1942, they were remarking about Pope Pius XII's Christmas sermon to the world, in which he came to the defense of oppressed peoples under Germany, and they said, in a manner never known before, the Pope has repudiated the National Socialist New European Order. That's the Nazi Party. It is true, the Pope does not refer to the National Socialists in Germany by name, but his speech is one long attack on everything we stand for. Here, he is clearly speaking on behalf of the Jews. Now, that's the German Nazi Party identifying Pope Pius XII as clearly speaking on behalf of the Jews. This is from their records. This is the enemy of the Jews pointing out who the friend of the Jews is. We can't ignore that fact, although many people tend to. It was clear that Pope Pius XII was a friend of the Jews. Now, as papal nuncio, he had openly opposed the racial policies of the Nazis. So the Nazis knew that he would be an even more formidable opponent once he was pope, and he had the full weight of the Catholic Church at his disposal. And that's exactly what happened. Pope Pius XII became a tireless, behind-the-scenes enemy of what the Nazis were trying to do to not just the Jews, but also the Gypsies, Catholic priests, people of other racial origins that they didn't like. He was a very effective defender, even though he did it in a quiet way, he was very effective. Let me give you a few examples that should suffice to demonstrate this. In August of 1943, the World Jewish Congress contacted Pope Pius XII and begged him to intervene with Italian authorities because some 20,000 Jewish refugees were being interred in camps in northern Italy where they were being held. They were actually being held there to be handed on to the Germans. And in their letter to the Pope, they said, our terror-stricken brethren look to your holiness as the only hope for saving them from persecution and death. And in the aftermath of that letter, the Holy Father intervened on behalf of these Jews. He did do what they asked for, and the efforts of the Holy Father on behalf of these Jews in the internment camp were successful. They were saved from an eventual fate of being sent on to the death camps. Another example, in June of 1940, about 500 Jews had gotten on a boat that was headed for Palestine. And when they tried to get off at the port, they were refused, and they went from this port to that port, up and down the coast. They were trying to find a home. After 4 months of no country allowing them to get off this ship, these poor people were captured by an Italian patrol boat. They were taken to the island of Rhodes, and there they were put into a prison camp until they could be turned over to the Germans. Now, the Pope found out about this, and he intervened again, and he managed to get those Jews free. So again, we see the Pope acting on behalf of the Jews. We see it in his own backyard. During the time of the German occupation of Rome, the Pope commanded that all Catholic convents, monasteries, houses of study, seminaries, even down to the parish rectories, they must be opened against the law that was being imposed by the German occupiers. The Pope defied that, and he said to all of the Catholic institutions in the city, you must open these buildings to hide Jews from the Nazis. And that's what happened. Thousands of Jews were hidden. They were saved by the action of these heroic nuns and priests and other Catholics. Not only that, in 1943, when Roman Jews who had been captured by the Nazis were about to be put on trains and sent north into the death camps, Pope Pius XII found out about this, and he intervened. He got in touch with the main German officer in Rome and negotiated for their lives. And as a result of his efforts, these Jews were not deported. This was the action of the Pope. He didn't have to do this, but he did it out of his great love for the Jewish people. So here's the next question. Why didn't Pope Pius XII issue a public condemnation? I mean, after all, people wanted him to get up on the balcony of St. Peter's and pound his fist and wave his arms and shout against Hitler. And in 50 years now of time that has passed since then, many people have a very naive understanding, at times you might say a foolish understanding, or a lack of understanding of what it was like to live in Europe in the grip of Nazi Germany. People don't realize that if the Pope had done this, if he had made a loud, specific condemnation of the Nazi atrocities, it would have resulted in horrible reprisals against the Jews and even Catholics and others, gypsies and others, who were under German control. Now, during an address that the Pope gave to the College of Cardinals on June 2nd in 1943, so we're at the height of World War II now, the Germans are occupying Rome. The Pope is very, very cautious about what he's doing. And he addresses the College of Cardinals, and he says to them that he has to be very serious and very careful in weighing which measure is the best way to approach the problem. And he says, in interest of the suffering people themselves, referring to the Jews, so as not to render their situation worse, I have to be very careful so that I don't do something that will anger the Nazis and make their situation worse. Now, on December 25th, 1941, the New York Times wrote an editorial in which it praised the Pope's efforts on behalf of the Jews. Specifically, the editorial commented on a sermon, an address that the Holy Father had given. You can read the complete text of both editorials if you'd like. You can read them at the envoymagazine.com site. There are many other places on the internet where you can read them. But read the full text of these two editorials that we see in the New York Times and ask yourself, if this Pope fiction is true, that Pope Pius XII was silent in the face of the Nazi atrocities. In the first editorial, which was called The Pope's Message, the editor writes, "The voice of Pope Pius XII is a lonely voice in the silence and darkness enveloping Europe this Christmas. The Pope reiterates what he has said before. In general, he repeats, although with greater definitiveness, the five-point plan for peace, which he first enunciated in his Christmas address after the war broke out in 1939. His program agrees in fundamentals with the Roosevelt-Churchill eight-point declaration. It calls for respect for treaties and of the possibility and the end of the possibility of aggression, equal treatment for minorities, freedom from religious persecution. Yet his words sound strange and bold in the Europe of today, and we comprehend the complete submergence and enslavement of great nations, the very source of our civilization, as we realize that he, referring to Pope Pius XII, is about the only ruler left on the continent of Europe who dares raise his voice at all. The last tiny islands of neutrality are so hemmed in and overshadowed by war and fear that no one but the Pope is still able to speak aloud in the name of the Prince of Peace." That's the end of the quote from, that's just a portion from this first editorial from the New York Times. Now, the Pope was calling for this return to sanity. He wanted there to be a return to the social and international principles, that only those were capable of preventing the kind of war and bloodshed and abuse that the Nazis were carrying out in Europe. And the New York Times has this wonderful line where it says, in doing and saying these things, quote, the Pope was putting himself squarely against Hitlerism. It's the New York Times. You know, this is not some Catholic person who's saying this. This is a secular news organ that testified all those years ago to the fact the Pope was doing this. The following year, also on Christmas Day, the same New York Times issued another editorial, and it revisited the theme of Pope Pius XII's help for the Jews. This editorial was called The Pope's Verdict. Now, a brief snippet. It said, "No Christmas sermon reaches a larger congregation than the message Pope Pius XII addresses to a war-torn world at this season. This Christmas, more than ever, he is a lonely voice crying out in the silence of a continent. The pulpit, whence he speaks, is more than ever like the rock on which the church was founded, a tiny island lashed and surrounded by a sea of war. In these circumstances, in any circumstances indeed, no one would expect. The sad fact is that most people today have no idea Pope Pius XII was speaking out. This editorial, of course, was widely read, it was openly recognized. Pope Pius XII's contemporaries, both Nazis, Jews, Catholics, they all recognized his strong, if hidden, efforts to rescue his brothers and sisters who were held behind the wall of death, who were being crushed behind the boot of the Third Reich. The sad part, really, the sad is not the right word, the tragic part is that a massive collective amnesia has set in. We as a society are no longer aware of what happened a mere 50, 60 years ago. Why? Why has this strange forgetfulness, this amnesia come about? I think a lot of it has to do with this intentional revisionism among historians. These are people who labor hard to obscure the facts. They write books about the Pope that shape public opinion. They direct public opinion away from the truth. And for whatever reason, I can't judge hearts, only God can. Perhaps there's a deep anti-Catholicism, maybe there's some kind of hatred for the papacy, the Catholic Church, but whatever it is, there is a concentrated effort to paint Pope Pius XII as a, quote, Jew hater, as an anti-Semite, as a Catholic bigot who turned his back on the Jews and did nothing while the Nazis did their dirty work for him. And this kind of thinking is not just contrary to the overwhelming facts that disprove it, it's also a poisonous and very insidiously powerful form of anti-Catholicism that is shaping the way people think in our modern day world. It's a poison that is influencing many people's attitudes toward the church. Now there's an old saying, if you tell a lie long enough, loud enough, and to enough people, that lie will soon become the truth. Pope Pius XII slanderers know this fact, they know it well, and they exploit it to maximum advantage. They're working hard to smear the papacy and the Catholic Church. But regardless of the facts, they don't care what the facts say. They want you to believe their Pope fiction. They want you to believe that Pope Pius XII was silent, even when the facts show that he was not. Now, the Pope, we can say, in summarizing some of these thoughts, we can say he did carry out a very vigorous campaign behind the scenes. And in some ways, you could say he was silent insofar as he did not, as I mentioned earlier, he didn't get up and wave his fists and rant and rave against Adolf Hitler. He had a much more thorough and effective campaign that he carried out more quietly. But he learned the lesson of what would happen to Jews when he saw what took place in Holland, when the Catholic bishops of Holland took the heroic but ultimately disastrous course of action by publicly confronting and condemning the Nazis. What took place was this. This was in occupied Holland, and in 1943, the Dutch Catholic hierarchy decided that they would, along with other Protestants and various other groups, on a certain Sunday, they would publicly condemn the deportation of Dutch Jews to the German and Polish concentration camps. What took place was the Catholics wound up being the only ones who went forward with this plan, because the Germans found out that it was going to happen. And they sent a notice out to all the various religious groups saying, don't do this or there will be bad consequences. So everybody else backed out. Finally, you have just the Catholic priests and bishops who denounced Hitler from the pulpit. And so the Nazis made good on their threat. They accelerated the deportations, and then they went not just after the Jews by race or by blood, but also baptized Jews, Jews who had become Catholics. So these included people like Edith Stein, the blessed Edith Stein, and also Anne Frank, the young girl who perished with her family in the Nazi death camps. Her family was rounded up as a result of this direct approach. So after his death, Pope Pius XII was hailed as a hero. The Israeli government planted 860,000 trees as a memorial to his honor, because the Israeli government lauded him and praised him for having saved, by their own accounts, over 800,000 Jewish lives during World War II. Well, once again, we've reached the end of this show. We don't have time to talk about such things as the chief rabbi of Rome, Rabbi Zolli, who, after seeing what Pope Pius XII did on behalf of the Jews. He himself converted to Catholicism and took the name Eugenio as his baptismal name. In any case, what we can do is we can cherish the truth, we can focus on the facts, and we can help other people to see that these poisonous rumors and attacks on Pope Pius XII are not true. As I say, we've reached the end of our time, but I'd like to thank you for being with me again here on Pope Fiction. I ask you to please join me in thanking God for the good and holy work that Pope Pius XII did on behalf of Jews. Let's keep praying for our Holy Father, the Pope, and ask God to protect and guide him. I'm Patrick Madrid, publisher of Envoy Magazine and author of the book Pope Fiction, and I'm wishing you all the best in Christ.